from somewhere deep below the earth. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Okay, now it's your turn, your phone calls, and in a moment we'll talk with Freddie Silva again about the healing properties of water with crop formations with these pictures. So many of you are very, very interested in that, so we'll have him talk about that one more time when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And just a reminder, the night of Memorial Day, we will have a full-fledged program for you. There will be no best of tape. I will be here for you on that night. Let's go to Freddie Silva now, and then we'll go to the phones right here on Coast to Coast AM. Freddie, let's talk a little bit more again, if you could, about these healing properties of water directly related to these pictures of crop formations people are writing in. I mean, will it work for them, or do they have to do something very special?
From what I've been working on, and also from the people that I hear back from in terms of these sort of experiments, it's a very much an individual thing. I was under the impression that each crop circle had a certain code which meant something. For example, the symbol means something, and only that, and it's very, very specific. But as I'm doing a little bit more research on this, I'm beginning to realize that actually the symbols are pertinent to each individual being. In other words, let's say that you're afflicted with something. Let's say you suffer from Parkinson's, for lack of a better thing. That person would basically look at a set of pictures, and just by browsing through the pictures, that person as a living organism would subconsciously lock on to a specific image which it is actually searching for, that has the genetic code and the molecular code that it requires as an organism to replenish itself. So basically, it's not the healer or the person that is administering the remedy that's in charge of the actual operation. It's the actual person that needs the healing, that chooses for him or herself the very image that it requires to make itself better. Now, there is one slight sort of amendment to this, and that is that if it's part of your sole purpose, if you subscribe to this theory, that, you know, you basically are a body which is basically inhabited by a soul, and it has a purpose. If it's your sole purpose to basically undergo a certain illness because you have to learn something from that experience, or you choose to have that experience, then obviously the healing may work for a short period of time, but then you will basically end up with the illness anyway, because that's what you choose. There is no way of learning that, because we are all individuals and we all have our own particular paths in life. But I do know from what I've observed so far that it is the person that chooses the specific picture, and then the person who actually administers the remedy, or even any individual can do this just by taking a photograph, putting some spring water on top of a crop circle, and just intuitively asking yourself, you know, where should I rotate the picture? Where does it feel comfortable? And you are a self-regulating organism. You know what's best for your own body. And the more you learn to trust that, the more information you start picking up for yourself. And it's just a matter of rotating the picture until it aligns again with the Earth's magnetic field. You know, and there's that connection again about magnetism again. And once you've done that, you're locked into this grid. You're locked into the actual matrix of the Earth and the universe. And then it's just a matter of imprinting the water through your intent. And as we've learned now from the work of Imoto in Japan, that your intent and its effect on water is very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
Even to the point where you write the words, I love you or I hate you, on two samples of water, and the difference in the crystals are very, very different. Now, we know this is also happening in crop circles. The water is definitely being potatized at the ground level. Lucy Pringle, who for many years, at her own expense, at a great expense, I should add, has taken upon herself to bury samples of water in crop circles and also outside them, and sends them to a laboratory in France to have them blind tested. And the person who tests them has found that the samples taken from the crop circles, which he doesn't know have come from the crop circles, by the way, the crop circle samples have been potentized, energized, up to 136% above normal. So clearly the energy is in the circle already. What is incredible is that energy transfers to the actual picture. And we know also, for example, the myths in Peru, where the native cultures don't like having their picture taken because they say that you are taking part of their soul. I wonder how true that now is in light of this information.
Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast on the Air with Freddie Silva. Hi there.
Hello, this is David. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Hey, David. Hi. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was wondering if your guest had seen the book, The Hypnotic Power of Crop Circles by Bert Jansen.
Actually, I haven't. I've been taking a hiatus from reading and even looking at a piece of paper. It's been quite a process when I sort of put my book together, and I'm just taking a little bit of a breather, just going around lecturing about it more than reading. But I am aware of the book, so I can't really comment on the book because I haven't read it, to be honest.
Okay, I haven't either, but it just has a lot of beautiful pictures in it, and one that's very intriguing is called a crop circle called Adam's Grave. That was in Wiltshire in August 2003. It has like three birds.
The swallows, yes.
That's very magical. I see these crop circles as some kind of almost a talisman in a way. I don't know of what you would make of that. I mean, there seem to be a lot of pentagrams, you know, stars, and a lot of circular motion in these crop circles. I'm just wondering what your perspective on that might be.
They're very much fundamental shapes to nature. I mean, the pentagram, the hexagram, the heptagram, the seven-sided figure, all of these shapes are very fundamental to nature and life. In fact, the pentagram specifically is fundamental to nature. In the Pythagoreans in ancient Greece actually used it as a talisman of health, and we now know that the pentagram is created by the evolution of the golden mean spiral, which is basically nature's own fundamental spiral, the spiral that governs the growth in cells, in plants, even the length of the bones in the human hand are governed by the ratios found in that spiral. So all of those shapes that you're looking at are having a resonant effect, not just visually, but also subconsciously, because your body is reacting to it, because it's looking in the mirror, basically, because you are a living organism, and so are the geometries which are inherent and, I mean, most of the time, built into, invisibly, in the circles. So what the first reaction that you're having on a positive level is this incredible recognition of yourself in the actual crop circles, too.
What if these formations were sent to us by some incredibly galactic artist who merely is having a good time?
He's having a damn good time in that case, isn't he?
He sure is. A very creative good time.
It does. I have to say that any time you draw in the light, and for me, in my experience, I do see the crop glyphs as being creations of the light, not of the dark. Anytime you invoke the light, you obviously invoked the element of the trickster as well. So there is that trickster element involved in it in some way. And part of that trickster element also manifests itself in the hoaxers, who are also having, in their own little way, a bit of a laugh. There is part of their joke to try and go out and take the mick, as we say, out of the researchers who are taking this so seriously. So again, you've got to take everything in its greater context, that there is something very benevolent going on, very loving, and at the same time you are attracting by its very nature its very opposite.
Let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. You're on with our guest, Freddie Silva, on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, my name is Glenn. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. How you doing, guys?
We are well. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I talked to you before, George, when you had Mitch on about the occult. That was the guy with the internal telescope.
Okay.
Now, I had a question as far as the crop circles. Now, I believe that, you know, I was doing some internal searching, and I believe, you know, we have 5 points to our body. Also, there's 5 points to a star. Now, do you believe that the crop circles are being formed by a different dimension in coalition to our five senses, being the 5 points, you know, to a star, you know, having a coalition between the two is just a dimension that we're just not seeing, or maybe a dimension we're not seeing with our sixth sense?
It's, again, this goes back to the channeling material of Isabel Kingston, who has been one of the main channels of information from the core group of circle makers. As I said before, there are many different levels of reality who are each imprinting their information on the Earth with their own particular agenda. This is why the circles, by and large, tend to be grouped into different groups. It's almost like different painters, you know, on the scene. And from her information, the Watchers, who are the core group of the of this communication, they explain their level of reality as being so ethereal that we as humans cannot even conceive of the level of dimension that they're on. They describe us as beings of light. They see us as light and sound. They keep talking about how, and you know, I've been in the seances myself when she's actually in trance, so. They describe that their form is very ethereal, and that we cannot even begin to conceive of the sounds that they hear and the color that they see. So the best thing that they say is just enjoy what you're seeing. Enjoy the creations that they're giving you, and try not to think about it too much logically.
When I did my astrology chart, I also study in the mediumship and clairvoyancy, and I practice in the tarot of art and parapsychology type work, and when I was born, my astrology chart shows that the stars were aligned in the perfect position of a pentagram. I do a lot of meditation and try not to focus on too much stuff like that, but I can't help it.
I don't blame you, especially with a chart with a pentagram. That's a good start in life, isn't it?
Great. Thanks for the call. First time caller line. Your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello, and where are you?
I'm in Ohio delivering USA Today.
Okay, as you deliver, go ahead.
When you were talking about the helicopters over the crop circles, my father was in the Air Force for 20 years, and 15 of it he crewed on rescue helicopters. And when we were stationed out in New Mexico, he told me of when they would be flying over the desert, they would see these shapes in the sand. And he said when they flew over them that the helicopter would start vibrating different. And I didn't know if your guess has maybe come over images in sand.
Hmm.
Like crop circles.
Oh, very interesting. I mean, it certainly harks back to the reports from the British helicopter pilots. I'm talking about commercial pilots now because we never get to hear anything from the military, of course. But the helicopter pilots in England who, some of which, they certainly will not ever again fly over the crop circles because they did report some very unusual events taking place inside the helicopter. I mean, there was shaking, there was momentary lapse of in problems in the equipment that they were using, gyroscopes starting to rotate in weird ways, red warning lights, that kind of thing. So, and because if you're dealing with an organism, which again, part of which is electromagnetic, you've got a machine which is electromagnetic, the two are just probably going to not work well together. So, yes, I think that that would correlate with what's happening in England. And you actually mentioned that pattern in the sand. I think you're referring to the Sri Yantra Mandala, I believe, in the Oregon Desert and the Alva Desert. Back in 1991, when during one of their flight paths, one of the local military bases, which used that area as a training path, suddenly stumbled across 13.3 miles lines etched into the Alva Desert, into the encrusted sand, in the shape of this incredibly massive Sri Yantra mandala. And yet there was no signs of entry or leaving on the desert floor, and the pattern just seemed to have materialized from one evening to the other without any sign of work in progress. So that would be my answer to that.
Well, we did live out there during Desert Storm, so it's about the same time period.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, by the way, what's the headline in USA Today? What's it say?
Oh, let's see. It says, "Deal avoids showdown on judges."
That's the headline?
Our lovely politicians, and they're fighting.
Yeah, doing the thing. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We get all kinds of information on this program, Freddie.
Certainly do.
What do you do next, by the way? What are your investigations up to? Where do you go? What's your next step?
I'm not altogether certain, although I seem to have spent the last year just putting together this wonderful little DVD, which, again, I keep forgetting to mention this, which you can get on my website, www.lovely.clara.net. As well as my book. I'm looking more and more into the crop circles in relationship to the sacred spaces, because that's where inevitably the information goes to. It's that harking back to ancient memory, reminding us that our ancestors, too, were working with the very same principles that the circle makers are using. And they maintained civilizations for thousands of years in perfect equilibrium by using these techniques. I think, personally, that's where the real message of the crop circles is taking us. If we look at how our Neolithic ancestors used magnetism, the alignment of their sacred spaces on the landscape, you know, Stonehenge, for example, being a great example, which lies at the crossroads of various lines of magnetic energy, just like its own crop circle, the Gothic cathedrals that came later and were superimposed on top of ancient pagan sites, all of these places always used for heightened states of awareness and healings and connections with the gods, for lack of a better word. I think this is where they're trying to get us to, and this is why I suddenly put together this little DVD documentary, because I wanted people to see the connection, the greater picture. And it's really getting the word out there, because once you start putting the crop circles in relationship to things that people can see and feel and have a sense of reality, which is, yeah, a cathedral certainly very much is a part of our life, or a standing stone is part of our life, something you can feel and touch, and it's there, it's concrete, then the idea that the crop circles are very much real and are on par with that spiritual technology becomes much more easy to assimilate. And that's pretty much where I am at the moment. I wrote this huge book, which I never had any intention of writing, believe me. I was quite happy in my life. I did not want to be an impoverished author. But as I keep saying, the fringe benefits have been fantastic. I've met incredible people. I've rubbed shoulders with some very interesting and intellectual people. And the fringe benefits have been fascinating. I've seen balls of light. I've been levitated off the ground in a crop circle, much to my amazement, which still baffles me to this day. I never would have exchanged.
How high up did you go? Just a few inches, or did you go way up there?
I have no idea to this day. I was
really?
It was 1997 when I went into a circle, and about a time when everything about sound was concreting in my mind. Everything was pointing to sound for me. Again, by the sheer fact that I've been working with Isabel Kingston for quite such a long time, and as a musician, I just went in that sort of general direction. And I played this tape of this music, and I lay down in a crop circle in 1997 in England, a beautiful, beautiful pattern. And I just remember being knocked out, a huge blow just being hit on the back of my shoulders, which actually it didn't hurt. It's almost like, as a joke, like Dr. Spock came up behind you and knocked your, pinched one of your nerves. And I just sort of relaxed. I just began to rise out of my body. I could see my hands flying around me and being surrounded by these very, very tall beings and just being loved. All I can remember was this incredible feeling of unconditional love. And this information was just being downloaded into me, which then became part of this book. And as I said, I never had any inclination to sit down and write a book. I kind of got pushed into it. And to this day, most of the information on there still baffles me. I mean, there's 10 pages of bibliography at the back alone, just to give you an idea of how much research went into this thing. And my intention was just to let people know, this is my experience, and this is a genuine experience. And there's something here of great benefit to humanity, from the healing, from the subconscious connection, from the universal knowledge and the technology that's coming out of it. And people ought to know, because it's going to improve their lives to no end.
All right, stay with us. We'll wrap up with final phone calls with our guest, Freddie Silva, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
From somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
And this entire week is a week of unusual, mysterious, and paranormal shows, so make sure you're all part of this right here on Coast to Coast AM. And then again, Monday, Memorial Day night, if that's correct. It'll be a live program for you, not a best of, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Freddie, are there scientists out there right now or concerned people who are using their computers with these crop formation pictures trying to decipher the codes that might be included in them?
I hope they are. If they are, I'm not aware of them, and also they're not making themselves very known. In fact, you remind me of a situation last year when I had an email from a member of NASA, whose name obviously I can't mention, who actually requested a huge amount of information about crop circles, because he stated that NASA and certain parts of NASA are very interested in them. They are studying them in their own time. And there are indications that there are scientists who are going off on their own, doing their own research in their own homes, quietly beavering away, because they feel that there's something more that meets the eye. And, of course, they are correct, because as we keep saying about the channel material from 20-odd years ago, that the circles would encode information of a technological nature, and scientists would be lulled into the crop circles at a subconscious level, not quite knowing where the information was coming from. There was a communication that was happening at subconscious level. So that is reassuring that there is something going on, but what you find is that these people tend to do it very much quietly in the background, basically because of the fear of ridicule and because of the pressure that certain agencies will come to bear, and that's a very smart way of doing it, actually.
Does the government of England, again, a country that has 80% now of the crop circles by your estimate, do they take this seriously? Do they investigate it publicly, or are they pretty quiet about it too?
They've gone very quiet since the whole Doug and Dave scam came out, which incidentally was actually known to people in government circles weeks before it was revealed to the public. So clearly the origins of Doug and Dave seem to have emanated from deep within the halls of government in England. They've been very, very quiet since then. They feel that because the whole thing has been debunked and ridiculed, that the whole thing can now go away. And certainly when you have motion pictures which portray crop circles as malevolent signs from evil, head-eating aliens, then obviously the whole ridicule aspect has been attached to it. And they feel that there's so much misinformation and disinformation put out throughout the media now that people are so confused they don't know what to believe. And I think to some degree they feel quite happy that this has happened. Now, whether they're working quietly away at this, we'll never know, obviously, until someone actually spills the beans from within the government. But around the time of the original research group of, George Wingfield, Colin Andrews, and Pat Delgado, it certainly seems to have been the case that the government was taking it very, very seriously, because the mention of the crop circles and kept coming up in Parliament, and that they should be at all kept under surveillance as much as possible. And I believe that a certain amount of money was appropriated towards research into them. But apart from that, we just don't know anymore.
What's going on in China with crop circles?
Nothing as far as I'm concerned, apart from the fact that my book has just been translated into Chinese. So we'll never know what happens down there. They're a very secretive society.
They one of the 29 countries that have crop formations?
Not to my knowledge, oddly enough. But then again, it's only been in recent years that news has come out of China that they have some incredible pyramids out there. So God knows what else they're hiding in there. I wouldn't be surprised if they had crop circles, because we have had reports of crop circles in rice paddies in Japan. So I suspect that they are around there. People probably, it's like in most countries around the world, they just don't know who to tell. And then when the authorities find out, they inevitably clamp down on them. I mean, it is a very close society in many extents. So I'm waiting with bated breath to see what comes out of there when my book gets released out there.
Let's go to the phones again. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Karen. I'm in Sacramento.
Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
I would like to ask the guest, have you ever considered taking all of the crop circle sightings that you have all over the whole world and lining them up and reading them around the globe as like in a line? So might like hieroglyphics, maybe it reads something around.
Right, some kind of pattern or something, huh?
Yeah, like you read a book, and in a line all the way around.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know what order you'd put them in. Freddie, what order would you put them in order to read them?
Oh, I guess you have to start at the beginning, as far back as we can go. I think a couple of people have tried to figure that out in England, and sometimes some minor patterns do pop up. The problem is that when you start getting the hoaxing around about 1991, it begins to interfere with the information. And certainly the last few years where the hoaxing has gotten so out of control in England. And I mean, if you go on my website, it'll give you an idea of just how bad it's become. Because the crop circles appear as a seesaw pattern. It's a sine wave. They go up over a certain period of time, and then they decrease in number over a certain period of time. And we're now in that lull period. I think they're going to start picking up possibly next year in England for sure, but that's my gut feeling. So it's very difficult to be able to sort of make any kind of pattern or suggestion in that respect, and also the amount of man-hours that it would take to plot over 10,000 patterns on the ground, including their GPS coordinates, it's quite an undertaking, and we're just not funded to that degree. What I can tell you is that I did stumble upon a piece of information from the year 2000, if memory serves correct, where I was looking at specific alignments just in Wiltshire with some of the circles that happened that year, all of which bore a certain family resemblance, as if they belonged together. And I began to plot them on the ground relative to the local sacred sites. And I found that all of them were referencing, the crop circles were referencing the local sacred sites and each other with two specific angles. And those angles were 32.72 degrees, which I am now understanding is a angle of manifestation of matter, which is a piece of research I'm working on right now. And the other angle that they referenced each other to was 19.47, of which we know a lot about. It is the angle of energy upwelling in this planet. In other words, at a point on this on Earth where there's an energy anomaly that emanates from the center of the Earth upwards, and it manifests in our physical space as the islands of Hawaii. Now, you can look at the other planets in the solar system, like Venus, Mars, the red spot on Jupiter, and so on, and you find that all of these anomalies also occur at 19.47 latitude on many of the planets in the solar system, and this is a hard fact now, which goes back many, many years. So it seems that they are using specific angles of manifestation and energy in order to locate themselves. But what I found was interesting was the fact that they referenced the sacred sites. So the ancestors were using the very, very same principles that the circle makers are now using. That's the best example of that I can point to of a specific mapping on the landscape, but on a very, very small scale.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, is this me?
It sure is, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? This is Adam from Decatur, Illinois.
It's fine, Adam. Go ahead.
I had a question for your guest. I didn't catch your guest's name.
His name's Freddie Silva.
Hey, Freddie Silva, I had a couple of quick questions for you. On the crop circles, I was wondering if there was anything different in the like magnetic field, if there was anything strange going on. And my second question is the crop circles that are found nowadays, if they have any relations back to the field formations, for example, like the spider monkeys, snakes, and birds that were made ages ago. I don't know if you're familiar with those type of field formations or not. But
in Nazca in Peru, yes, very much so. I'll answer the second one first because it's the easier one. I am not aware of any connection that exists between the crop circles and the Nazca lines and shapes in Peru. Not to say that there isn't one, I'm just not aware of it, apart from the fact that both can be best seen from the air and appreciated from the air. In terms of the magnetics, yes, I mentioned earlier that research has been done that which shows that within the airspace of a crop circle, the Earth's magnetic field appears to have been shifted about 4 degrees. It's a phase shift, which seems to have an effect on any electronic equipment that is taken into the crop circle, and also on compasses and cell phones and what have you.
Huh. Okay, well, great. I really appreciate your time, and I really appreciate your show. George, keep it up.
All right, thank you, Adam. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Is it me?
It is you.
Oh, George, I've been listening to you for months now while I'm painting a mural all night, and some things that Freddie is saying are so vindicating for me because for all these years, I've been painting these murals, holding shapes and movements in the sacred geometry, which I often see in the circles, of course, and also the coding that's in nature for edible plants and all these things. And what comes out in the placement of the piece, it's realist, it's representational art, but it really seems to help people to feel a spaciousness and a peace. And it's so... How can I say it briefly? I was lying here this evening listening to your show. Oh, mm-hmm. Hi, Freddie, by the way.
Hello. In fact, you just reminded me of something, talking about shape and relationship.
Yeah.
There's some research that came out of the former Iron Curtain, where they were very cash-strapped in those days, and I guess they still are. And they actually began to experiment with sacred geometry and shape, because they understood that the myths carried through, saying that in ancient times, the temples were encoded with specific geometries to invoke certain states of awareness and healings. And they figured if this was true, that they basically could use this stuff to heal people for nothing. And what they researched, and specifically in Bulgaria and in Russia, was that when they put sick people into rooms that were shaped like pentagrams, the rate of healing went up remarkably. When they put schizophrenic patients in hospital wards which were shaped like trapezoids, the rate of healing went up remarkably as well. And also when they put blood samples in spherical shapes, the rate of coagulation also went up dramatically. So there was something very incredible about the power of shape and its concordant effect on the human body. So thank you for reminding me of that.
Oh, it is. It's amazing. I see it. I have a new commitment now to convincing children's hospitals to let me come in and do some work in the children's wards now, because it's not just me anymore in my mind. It's these things really do help people. So I thank you so much for your wisdom and what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Okay,
and you're also helping to ground this information in reality. So thank you for that, and especially with kids. I mean, I one of my most hair-raising experiences in my research has been to talk to children at school, because they're so disarming. I mean, they are not bound by the same conventional laws that you and I are. And I was amazed just to be able to sort of put some pictures of crop circles in front of them and let them do the talking. And it was amazing what they were coming up with. I mean, they were suggesting things that, you know, we hadn't even considered, which just shows you that they react to, the unfettered mind reacts to the crop circles, which has a wonderful abandon and such a wonderful innocence. And they can see them for what they are. And the teacher, when she puts her hand up saying, well, after seeing the crop circles, who's now interested in learning about geometry? Everybody's hand went up. And she said, you know, before that, you couldn't even get kids to look at shapes, geometry, algebra, maths, nothing. And now they're so much into it. I mean, that alone is an incredible healing tool, isn't it?
If you could get one answer, just one, Freddie, with this crop circle formation phenomenon, what would that answer be? What would you want to know?
Ooh,
And it could include where they're from, what the message is, but you could only get one answer.
I struggled with the same thing when I came to the last sentence in my book, and I just didn't know how to wrap it up. And I wrapped it up in one word, which I'm not going to reveal because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But the answer for me, I walked into the crop circles believing in nothing. I was an atheist. I didn't believe that God existed because of all the nonsense and the negativity that happened here on Earth. I could not believe that a loving God could do this. I now believe in God in my own particular form. I believe that there is another life, another universe, many, many universes, all of which are loving and guiding. That's been the answer for me. I've already received my answer. I sacrificed the marriage, my house, all my earnings. I've flirted with bankruptcy, and I keep saying, you know, but I would never have swapped this for anything in the world. Because of the fringe benefits I've received, and I'm now allowed to share this information with people and see the positive change that it's bringing to them. I think I've already had my answer. For me, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to be involved in this journey, and it's just a privilege and a pleasure to be able to continue on this journey and to be able to share the information as I receive it. So I'm already content, George. I think I've already had my answer.
Good for you. East of the Rockies, you're up. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I've got a question. Has he ever done any studying with the crop circles in relation to, like, the stars, the formation of the stars, or how galaxies are set? To find a pattern from relating to the crop circles?
Oddly enough, someone did suggest that. In fact, several people have suggested that over the years. I have not personally seen the conclusion to their experiments or their research. But I did discover that in 1994, there was a number of crop circles, and each year, by the way, they seem to have a new theme. In 1994 in England, there seemed to be a lot of solar system patterns, and around 95 as well, a lot of star system patterns, spirals and things. And I learned subsequently that during that year, it was a year when Isabel Kingston and the group that I'm involved in went around the landscape opening up sacred sites in England, tumuli, standing stones, and other places, which actually were aligned some 6,000 years ago to represent the mirror image of the system Canis Major, of which Sirius is the dog star, one of its main components. All of these sites are the mirror image of this thing, this constellation in the heavens. And wherever they went to do their openings, these crop circles that appeared like star systems or galaxies manifested nearby almost as a confirmation of the work. And I just wonder if there was a connection between that, because Sirius has always been associated with a teacher. And, of course, we are being taught a lot of things from the crop circles. That's probably the best example I can pinpoint to that particular line of inquiry.
Okay, let's go to our final quick call. That's all we'll have time for. Hello, go ahead, hon.
Is it me?
Yeah, I got one minute for you. Thank you.
You mentioned that you are into the study of sound, and I'm very interested in the healing aspects of music, chanting, and sound, and wondered had you any ideas or responses to the rosary or yoga chanting or that quality of sound that is healing?
30 seconds, Ray. Go ahead.
The long answer is in basically I've actually written about that in my book, which you'll find at www.lovely.clara.net. The short answer to that is yes, and the correlation exists with Gothic cathedrals, where if you actually apply Gregorian chant, you find that brainwave patterns can go up as much as 4,000% in those spaces. So there's something about Gregorian chant and the refined space of the Gothic cathedral, which uses the same type of geometries used in the crop circles, which generate an environment which stimulates the human electromagnetic field and its level of awareness and healing. And that's basically the short answer in 30 seconds.
Freddie, thank you so much for being on the program. Appreciate it, and good luck with a very special book, Secrets in the Fields, okay?
A pleasure. Thank you very much, George, for having me on.
Indeed, my pleasure. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, and always Art Bell, I'm George Norris, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.